Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
I just hung up on the show. I hope everybody can hear me. Amy, can you hear me?
I hung up on it.
What a ding dong. I can hear you. It's Living and Thriving time. It's Thursday. It's freaking gorgeous here in Florida. I know Amy doesn't want to hear it. It's my consideration of chilly. I woke up at 47 degrees at 3 o'clock this morning. It's now 73 degrees. Amy, I think you're at, 12?
Today we're a little bit better. I think we might be at 26 today.
Rocking those shorts and barbecue gear. I know.
And
I feel
was
bad
on my
post
this morning,
freezing.
So I felt it. You go to the ocean when it's 26 degrees, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't miss it. But today, it's just beautiful. The sunrise is amazing. I love, love, love beating the sun every morning. I get the privilege of watching. I have this palm tree outside of my bedroom window, and I watch the sunrise over my house, and it just has different layers of color, and then all of a sudden, life starts to begin. Like, you'll start hearing faint cars, and then crickets and frogs, and you know, I live in Jurassic Park, so there's all kinds of noises, but it doesn't really start hitting until about 5:15, and I am so blessed to have that privilege every morning to take that time out to just breathe in life. I love it. I am so in love where I live right now.
That's awesome. I have been noticing to try to take, even though in the winter we get a little crabby up here about the cold, but we did choose to live here. So I try to look at the beautiful things. For instance, I put my bird feeder out, and I got to see a beautiful family of cardinals. So seeing cardinals against the white snow is just a miraculous
Gorgeous.
Thing to see. So I'm taking in the quietness and the slowness, the slowing down. And that's what this season is about. It's about slowing down. So I'm trying to embrace it as much as I can and not get too crabby. and just enjoy those moments that you can have in a moment that you may not have thought of, and just take that time. And it was beautiful because my daughter and I were just looking at the birds. And, you know, we had like 6-7 different species of birds and how they interacted. And, you know, so, you know, that you can choose how to look at your day.
Well, and somebody looked at me and they said, "Why are you just so happy?" And I said, I don't know if I'm necessarily happy. I just make the choice to find joy. And
exactly.
I make, you know, it's like anything else that you do. You choose to drink, you choose to shower, you choose what you eat. You make a conscious choice as to whether or not you see the world as a pleasant place to be in or a place that is nothing but dysfunctional. And in our landscape, you know, our social media and the boob tube, which, you know, I hate the television.
Yeah.
And even when you try to turn on the radio, like, it's just garbage. It's just nonsense, negativity.
And it's getting
and
worse
yucky.
And worse all the time.
Oh, Lord. And I sit there, somebody asked me, "Oh, did you watch this on TV?" I go, "Honey, I haven't watched TV in 14 years. I have no desire for that trash in my mind." And like we talked last week with James, who I love, love, love. He's going to be on our show again in March.
Oh, good.
You know, just filling your head with the right stuff versus propagating the bad seeds. That's not anything I have any interest in. And do you know, Amy, that this day, this very day, 3 years ago, Chloe and I were completely and utterly homeless.
Yes, I remember.
Isn't it amazing how far you can come with determination and motivation and a will?
Yeah, and it's interesting because even though I wasn't there present with you during that time, you know, you had to find a way to get through that and not let it take you down. And
Amen.
You know, and you can do whatever you want and achieve whatever you want, but you do have to, you know, put the work in, you know, into doing that and taking that next step. As you know.
Well, and the only reason why I bring it up, and it's not to, you know, have a debate on what homelessness is or any of that stuff. That's a different show because, you know, I could talk about that for days. But it's about appreciation of life. I really strongly believe no matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you are in life, taking that time, taking that breath, taking that moment, even when you have an ornery person belittling you and putting you down and you know, just that kind of worst-case scenario with human interaction, stop, breathe, and realize 3 years ago on this day you were what? And it's beautiful, that transformation, that growth. You know, I always refer to myself as an emotional, spiritual farmer. I'm constantly planting seeds, and that's what I want to do. And when I refer to having retrospect, it's just to encourage moving forward because you can do it. It may take longer than you expect, but it definitely is there.
Well, that's the reason behind the show, is to show people that through different experiences with us and our guests, that person may be at that point sitting there wondering. And if we can help someone make a better decision for themselves, one person at a time, that's what this is about. This is a, you know, that's what's about giving back is through our experience and through your experience, mostly Rusty, you know, you can show people that you can do anything and you can accomplish anything. You just got to put your mind to it. And where you put your mind, where you put your focus, that expands. And it doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. And that is something I've been really working with this year, is really being careful about what I'm thinking about. Because that's what I'm expanding. And that's the TV, the boob tube.
I hate the TV.
when you get into that thread, okay?
Yeah.
You're adding to that collective consciousness. You're helping to expand that. So sometimes when you just sit back and think about it, do you want to expand that? Do you want that to be larger? And if you say yes, then keep on going. But if you say no, that's the signal to back off and look at something else. And that has really helped me this year to navigate through some turmoil that I was experiencing. And I think back about friends like you and other people that have experienced strife and struggle, that you just pick yourself up in that moment. Brush yourself off.
Well, and I really think that there's a delicious and beautiful way of gluing yourself and taping yourself and putting yourself back together and being respectful to that. And I think there's the alternative, which is just trying to staple it together in a hurry and being reactive and not really focusing on the delightful nature of being broken. It is beautiful. And people are rolling their eyes. I know I can feel it. But take that breath. Learn. And you know how empathic I am. Take that breath and learn from that brokenness, because it's a lesson. It is a lesson.
It is.
And you know what's even more exciting is that we get to do this show every week and we get to talk to people who have had their lessons, who are able to help us glue and tape and put ourselves back together in delightful and meaningful ways that the boob tube will not ever do. Kill your television, I'm telling you. know, today's guest is Andrea Hall. She is an advocate, a lawyer, an author, and you know what, Amy? She actually really worked hard for 13 years specializing in sexual offenses and domestic violence, which is my Achilles heel, as you know. You know, being a guest speaker for Billion Voices, which is a beautiful international thing that happens every February 14th, where women get to speak their story and share it on an international level across the world in such a delightful way. You know, Andrea Hall is one of those individuals, one of those soldiers who helped make that opportunity happen, whether she was aware of that or not, you know, giving a voice to individuals who suffered whatever consequence. And I believe, if I'm right, I could be right or wrong, I don't know, but I think she's actually on. Andrea, are you there?
I am.
Hi,
welcome.
Five girlfriend. What's up?
Not much. I'm attempting to stay warm today. It's a little cold here in Colorado. It's only about 25 and we've had some flurries. So this is kind of a shock because it's been in the 50s and 60s, so I'm attempting to adjust to the chilliness today.
You and me both, sister. It was 47 when I woke up this morning. It's now 73, so, you know, I can't complain too much. And Amy was telling us that you're in, what, the 20s?
Yeah, it was like 26. Yesterday I woke up, it was 15.
So even Colorado is warmer than where you are, Amy.
Yeah, I know. I picked the cold corner.
You did. So, Andrea, I'm really excited to learn more about you and what you do. I know that you are a contributing author in Living Your Joy. You sound like you're someone that's definitely from the same cloth that Amy and I are, and I really want to learn more about your coaching and why horses are so important to you. So you introduce yourself in the sense of who are you, what do you do?
Well, I think you did a good job in the beginning. Like you said, I was a former criminal defense attorney who represented individuals who've been accused of sex offenses and domestic violence. And a lot of times I got asked, like, why do you, you know, represent these people? And to be honest, I've been on all sides of the fence. I was sexually molested as a child. My one and only jury trial at the age of 18 was for a sex offense. And now as a criminal defense lawyer for the last 13 years, I represented people who were accused of such things. So I can definitely relate to all sides of the fence when it comes to that. However, unfortunately, in the 13 years that I practiced, it's very, very stressful, and I was constantly in fight or flight mode, being an advocate for my clients, and it finally took a toll on me. I was in the middle of a 5-day jury trial when my 18-month-old puppy died, and I said, what am I killing myself for? The judge was very unsympathetic and cold about the whole situation, and it was the first time in my life where I actually felt like what my clients felt like every time they stood at the podium and had a conversation with the judge. And I said, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life? So I took the summer off. I played with my nephew. I went to the pool and amusement parks and did all that fun stuff that I hadn't done for a really long time. And when the summer ended, I said, I don't think I can do this for the rest of my life. And so I began this soul-searching journey over the next 3 years of what was I going to do when I grow up. And during that process, I was also physically getting ill. Like, my body was responding to what had been my life for the last 7 years at that point in time. And I just progressively got more ill over the 3 years while I was attempting to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And at that point in time, I had been introduced to somebody that did horse work. And so I went and did some sessions with her. And while I was there, I just had this huge realization that my life was completely different when I was with the horses. My breathing pattern changed. My heart rate dropped. I was very grounded and centered and in my body and present, which I don't know that I had ever had that feeling before. And it was the first time I was, like, able to get out of my head. And so I was like, I think this is what I want to do. And I was like, I'm able to combine my love for horses and my passion to help people just in a different venue through coaching with horses. So I sought out different programs, and I finally settled with Melissa Pierce's program, Touched by a Horse. And I became an equine gestalt coach, where I now do, you know, personal and emotional work with lawyers and high-end executives who were or are just as stressed out as I was. And the pivotal point for me, even though I knew that this is what I was going to do, was I was about to go into my second intensive weekend of training when I found out I had a brain tumor and had to have emergency brain surgery. And it was at that point that I finally got the 2x4 upside the head. You know, I knew during that 3 years that this probably wasn't where I was going to stay, yet I, of course, was continuing to do the hamster wheel of life. And finally, I got the 2x4 that said, hello, you're not able to do this anymore. So I ended up having emergency brain surgery, and I vowed at that point in time that if it wasn't cancer and I survived, that my life really was going to look different, that I was going to get a second bite at the apple and I was going to choose something different. So after I recovered from the long, you know, surgery and the healing process with that, I decided it was time to close my law practice. However, you know, you still struggle, right? Like, I still like to eat and I still had bills to pay, and nobody cares that you're wanting to transition into a new career, right? So I gradually was moving towards this new career, and I am happy to say I have one client left, and he will be my last sex assault case that I do probably for the rest of my life.
But that's amazing, and wow, what a powerful 2x4. I always thought that God had, you know, me as the punchline, but that 2x4, that cosmic 2x4, man, he's hit me with that thing so many times, and I'm just like, oops, dodge, whoop, nice try, whoop. You got hit hard. Did they give you an understanding as to where the brain tumor came from, or do you think that it was just a manifestation of the physical trauma of listening to all that you had to listen to? I mean, I've been in and out of court for too long with my own court stuff, and it's exhausting. It's truly exhausting, especially because it's not an honest sport, and there's a lot of character demonizations, and that within itself, just that constant negativity, I can only imagine.
No, and I always tell my clients, there is no justice. It's just us. And it really is the truth. When you enter into the legal system, there is this adversarial confrontation that happens. And 9 times out of 10, now I won't say all, however, a great portion of the police will put a square peg in a round hole, and they will find whatever evidence or what they deem as evidence to support their theory that someone is guilty, no matter what. And what I have found is there are more prosecutors that come from ivory towers and have no real life experience whatsoever, and are not able to have any sort of sympathy or common sense when it comes to somebody that's involved in the criminal justice system. And the criminal justice system.
Girl, you and I
can
talk for days about that.
Yeah.
We can talk for days on that. It's unbelievable.
The criminal justice system is a money game, and it's set up for failure, and there's no rehabilitation. We put a Band-Aid on a wound that needs staples and tourniquet, period, end of story. However, they feed the, and I heard you talking a little bit about TV, and I don't watch TV. I haven't owned a TV for over 2 years. Or I shouldn't say I have a TV. I just don't subscribe to any cable subscriptions for over 2 years because society is fed the information that they think they want them to hear. So they continue to tell them crime is going up. They continue to tell them that the best place for them is prison. And I'm like, if we take the $40,000 that you're spending on an inmate to be incarcerated and send them to the best Betty Ford or rehab clinic in South Padre and send them there mm-hmm. until they are getting to the root of why they're using, instead of sending them to 30 days or locking them up in prison. I said, anybody can be sober in prison. I said, in fact, there's probably more drugs in prison than there are on the streets, but if you send them to prison, they're getting three hots and a cot, and they're away mm-hmm. from anything that's a trigger that would cause them to use. So then they get out, and you expect them to get a job, which, hello, Captain Obvious, they're a convicted felon. So tell me where they're going to get a job. It's easier for a man to get a job because they can go work construction, the oil fields, things of that nature, where they typically don't do a background check, or if they do, it's not really that big of a deal. Women have a very difficult time finding a job because women don't have the physical capabilities to do the things that the men do. So, you know, unless Walmart's hiring at, you know, 10, 12 bucks an hour, where else are you going to work? Because nobody wants to hire you because you're a convicted felon. Good luck finding a place to live, right? And
right.
not only that, they're paroled to the exact same jurisdiction that they picked up their charges in, which is exactly where their drug dealers are, their pimps are, I mean, their friends are. So what do? When they're not able to find a job, they break up with a girlfriend, you know, they don't have any money for rent, they're not able to find a place to live, they do exactly what they know how to do, you know.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's a revolving door. And, you know, I told my clients numerous times, you know, you're not getting any frequent flyer miles here. There's no microwave at the end of this. I mean, like, you got to get off the hamster wheel. There's no reward for this. Like, the longer your rap sheet is, it's not like you, you know, are the poster child for, you know, some organization. There's no reward for this, buddy.
I know.
Well,
I
yeah,
love you.
It's insanity.
I knew
insanity.
I love you.
Is doing something mm. the same, doing the same thing, expecting the same result or a different result.
Yeah,
that's insanity. And that's
yeah. And
well,
actually,
and
I never answered. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go. Andrew,
I never
go.
Answered your question. So I firmly believe that I manifested the tumor, because the first thing I did when I left the doctor's office was grab my Louise Hayes book, How to Heal Your Life. And when I read brain tumor, I was like, this is where I live. This is the only place I've ever
yep.
known is in my head, right? So
right.
that was a huge pivotal point for me of this industry is physically killing me. And if I don't do something different, it's not going to change. And as a matter of fact, after I had the brain surgery, I had three more masses develop in my body, one in my breast and two in my throat after
wow.
the brain surgery. And I said, okay, I physically have to leave. There's no way around it.
Well,
right.
and those of us who are into holistic medicine, we would totally look at that very quickly and just off the cuff say your breast was attacked because you're trying to fight your femininity, and you know, your voice was attacked because you don't actually
yep.
have one in court. It's a joke. Courts are
yep.
the judicial
yep.
system is a frickin' joke. And
yes.
when you go, and Amy's been there almost every day by my side for the last almost 9 years with just a manipulative clown joke, monster making weird. I just, and you're right. It's not justice. It's just us. You're right. And if you don't
you're
have
right.
a lawyer
and
that cares about what they do.
That analogy.
Oh, I do too. I totally love that. You're screwed. You know, I had to compromise. I had to choose whether or not I was going to drag my life out for another 3 years or if I was just going to settle, because the state of New Hampshire had to have a win. They had to show that women are evil. It's a horrible state. Long story short, and it's been almost 9 years of battling. I could not imagine in any way, shape, or form trying to represent anyone in that forum. I just couldn't imagine the kind of pressure that you've gone under. And I'm so grateful that you got out, because it's not healthy in any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's not.
But
and
brighter,
our profession is doing
point,
nothing. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's I would love to watch the judicial system just get redone. because it's not working, it's not helping. Prisons are out to make money. They're not out to actually, you know, reinvent somebody. They don't do anything even in the slightest sense of common sense. It's a money-making business. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. capitalism is the way that we've designed our society, and it's not working. It's failing. So eventually it will collapse. And I mm-hmm. look at the prison systems just like I look at the healthcare systems. I don't see any difference.
I feel it's very interesting that you you got yourself out of that forum, yet you're helping those that are still in it. And I think that's really interesting that you are continuing to support those that forum that you just said that you had to get out of, which is intriguing because it keeps you in that forum but in a whole different way. So then it's looked at in a whole different energy.
So, Andrea, yeah, and talk to us about the constructive way you're doing it.
I'm sorry, right. What?
Talk to us about the way that you're actually being constructive with helping people versus the years that you spent as an attorney. Not necessarily constructive.
Yeah, so the reason I decided that I wanted to help my profession is, first of all, we have a very high suicide and drug and alcohol abuse problem, and nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, there's a four-alarm fire going on, and we're all standing around passing a bucket from person to person with water going, okay, is it there yet? Can you put a splash of water on this that, you know, needs a fire department? And, you know, for me, it was this epiphany, like there has to be other lawyers that are struggling like I am, that are not in the place in their life that they want. So for me, my career was my whole life in the beginning. That's all I did. I worked nonstop. I wasn't in a relationship. I didn't have a family. All of the things that I said I wanted, I didn't have. And so because most people who are lawyers are very type A people, especially if they're successful, they're type A, they're very highly driven, and the air on the bus of the tires is not equally filled. One area of their life may be going like crazy. However, where are they spiritually? Where are they mentally? Where are they physically? You know, and taking a look at that, as well as, you know, I think lawyers, when they start off, believe me, when I went to law school, they didn't tell me any of this stuff. You know, it was all about research and how to analyze the case and determine how to argue it and, you know, what are the most important cases that made history in the United States and, you know, things of that nature. It wasn't talking about your mental health and wellness. It wasn't talking about 90 hours of billable hours for a firm per week in order to make associate. It wasn't, you know, how are you going to start your own law firm? None of that stuff. And so I think what happens is we get out of law school, we think it's really lucrative. You know, if you walk into a room and you say to somebody you're a lawyer, everybody puts you on a different status, right? It's much different than walking in and saying, you know, you're the garbage man or you sell Mary Kay. It just is. And for whatever reason, when they put you at that pedestal, that doesn't mean that you're any different than anybody else. And I used to say that to my clients all the time. I put my pants on the same way you do every single day, one leg at a time. The fact that I was smart or stupid enough to go to school for, you know, 7 additional years and, you know, kill every brain cell in my head passing the bar exam and be hundreds of thousand dollars in debt doesn't make me any smarter than you. There's plenty of people that don't have a degree that make way more money than I do on a daily basis, weekly basis, yearly basis, right? However, I think what happens is we get out of school, we have this degree, we have all these student loans, you get married, your kids are in private school, you're keeping up with the Joneses, you have a stay-at-home wife, you know, kids are in all these sports, you drive all these expensive cars, and people go, I can't leave. How can I? Now, don't get me wrong, it's not necessarily been easy because, of course, I got used to a certain income and things of that nature. And did I ever want to go back to eating ramen noodles again? Not only no, but hell no. You know, like I did that twice and vowed I'd never do it again. Yet it comes to a point in your life where you go, what is my life worth? And when you see something taken away from you or potentially going to be taken away from you, your life flashes before your eyes and you go, okay, what do I really value? What is it that I really want? Do I care if I live in a $1 million house or I'm driving a Mercedes or a Lexus or a whatever you know, want to name as a high roller car? No, because if I died tomorrow, who cares? They'd sell the stuff. It has no value, you know? And so I said, I got to go, you know, and I think there's other lawyers that want to do that, yet they don't know how. Or they want to stay because they really enjoy what they do, yet they don't know how to create balance. They didn't teach us that in law school.
Well, and I know a particular lawyer that Amy also knows that not only sleeps with her clients, but also is so brutally nasty just in general. And we'll never get disbarred because she actually digs that whole negative stuff. And it's mind-blowing. You know, everybody said, oh, Rusty, you'd be a great lawyer. I'm like, hell no. Just like your ramen soup. Hell no. I'm not going back.
No,
yeah.
I don't think I could. I give a tremendous amount of respect because I think that I love that there's that choice. You can either try to manage and balance what and still continue being a lawyer, or here's another door. There is a way out, and there's other things out there to try and explore. I really love that.
Don't get me wrong.
Honestly,
I've never seen a lawyer that actually has balance. You're either in it and you're full-blood, rabid dog so that you can win it, or you go, hey, I'm out. Gotta go. Like, this is just not, nobody plays fair. It's nepotistic. It's, you know, there's all kinds of behind the scenes stuff that's going on, you know, and I've seen more lawyers leave than stay. And I'm not a lawyer by any stretch of the imagination, but there's just no good in the justice system.
Well, and don't get me wrong, the kill for me was fun for a really long time. The problem is that it took a toll on me physically, spiritually, and mentally. And there's a price you pay for that. And I can tell you that more times than not, lawyers are paying a price for that. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, creating balance is not something that is in our human nature. Most lawyers don't have that. And there's actually only 8 states that require any sort of mental health and wellness continuing legal education credits for lawyers. And I think if it was required more than the lawyers, I think would have a sense of urgency around it. You know, it's like the ethics credits. You're required to have so many in every state. Every state determines how many that is. However, you're still required to have them. So lawyers are always looking for ways to make sure that they get their ethics credits taken care of because those are the ones that are the hardest to get, just like the mental health and wellness ones would be. The problem is that, like I said, you know, it's a 4-alarm fire, but, you know, we're putting in the back corner hoping it goes away. And I think part of that stems from the fact that people deem it as some sort of mental illness or you're not strong enough, you're not capable enough, and, you know, why would we bring that to the forefront until it's too late? I mean, every month I look at what the lawyers are in trouble for, and they're in trouble for 3 things, you know, communicating with their clients, mostly not communicating with them, trust account issues. They're either taking money when they shouldn't or they're commingling funds into their personal professional account when they haven't earned it. And the last thing they're in trouble for is some sort of criminal charges or drug and alcohol abuse, domestic violence, DUIs, that type of thing. And so it needs to stop and people need to take a look at what's going on in the industry.
So I'm going to pull back because we only have maybe 15 minutes left with you, Andrea, and I just think you're the bomb. And I'm so grateful that you found us because you're right up our alley. But I want to
thank you.
And I want to, congratulate you for doing the right thing for your body, for who you are as an individual and a person. That's huge because especially as a woman, we are not taught to do what's right for us. We're taught to do what's right for others. So high five to you. You must be young because Amy and I are in our 40s-ish. and we're still
I'm right there with you, sister.
We're still trying to learn how to do what's right by us versus everyone else. So high five to you. Kudos to that, owning authenticity and, you know, taking care of yourself. But I really want to dig into what it is that you do, what inspires you, and how you can help other people. So talk to us about the horses and why it is that you do what you do, other than it's peaceful. There's more to it than that.
Well, really for me, the best part about what I do is the aha moment that the client has. So I coach from a perspective that my clients hold all the answers. This is really a Wizard of Oz. No, I'm not saying that right. Wizard of Oz. There
that's
you go.
Okay. It's Thursday.
Moment. You know, when she's standing on the yellow brick road with her red shoes and, you know, the good witch says to her, you had it all the time. And you really do. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the subconscious mind, the conscious mind doesn't allow the subconscious mind to bring forth those answers, typically because there's been some past trauma. And we all have trauma. I was just on a podcast yesterday and the lady said something about, well, you know, if people just want to come and experience what you do because they don't have trauma. And I said, whoa. I said, everybody has trauma. I said, you don't have to be raised in a Leave It to Beaver family. I said, to not have trauma. I said, I was raised in a very good family. I said, my parents weren't divorced. My parents weren't alcoholics, drug addicts. They didn't cheat, none of that stuff. I said, however, I can give you a laundry list of trauma I sustained. I said, and one of the first things was the teacher who told me I was no good at math. I said, that is one of the reasons why I went to law school instead of med school, was because I knew if I went to law school, I wasn't going to have to do math. There wasn't a lick of math in law school. Yet if I went to med school, I was going to have to do chemistry, I was going to have to do physics, and I was going to have to do math, and there was no way I was going to get through that. So I said, I can tell you other things that happened in my life. You know, my dad died when I was 17. I said, the list goes on and on of things that have happened to me that changed forever who I was. Good, bad, right, or wrong, they left an imprint in me. And I said, So we all have trauma that causes you to keep you from getting the things that you want in life. Between the ages of 0 and 5, you have 50% of your thoughts, beliefs, and values. And the only people that instill those in you are your parents and your grandparents, because that's who you're with the first 5 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 50% of who you're going to be by the time you are already 5 years old, that only leaves half of who you will be for the rest of your life to be developed, right? Well, by the time you're 18, you have 95% of your thoughts, patterns, beliefs, and things that will forever be the staple of who you are. 95%, that it leaves only 5% more for growth, change, things of that nature. So you are forever, by the time you're 18, even though your brain isn't fully developed till you're 27, pretty much staple of who you're going to be for the rest of your life. And so any trauma that you sustain will forever carry through until that's ultimately healed. And that's one of the things that's completely different about what I do versus talk therapy. When you go to talk therapy, you get to get something off your chest. Yes, the therapist in you may discover a trigger or what is causing you to do those things. However, it's only an awareness. What I do with the horses is actually transformational. So it changes the neural pathways in your brain. And the way I can explain this is, if you're scared of something, give me an example. Are you scared of something, Amy?
I'm just trying to. I'm scared.
Absolutely. It's rusty, and I'm definitely scared of heights. I have no idea why, because I'm an adventurer and I love to hike. But I have a hard time going up three prongs on a ladder. I have no idea why.
So something happened to you, and it could have been a past life thing. However, I would probably say something happened experience-wise for you in this lifetime. Or you saw something happen to your mother around that. So females will pick up on fears of their mothers, and males will pick up on fears of their fathers. So for me, I'm deathly afraid of snakes. I mean, deathly afraid of snakes. I can hyperventilate, crash a car, right? So about 2 weeks ago, my husband and I were driving in the car. We had just got done feeding horses. I was scrolling through Facebook, and all of a sudden on my screen, it looks like somebody's pouring cereal out of a box, and a freaking snake falls out on the kitchen table into this bowl. Well, for me, took me back to being 6 years old, and right in that moment, I literally took my phone, threw my phone into the vehicle, hit the windshield, and I screamed and I jumped up into the seat. Like, I moved my feet physically from the floorboard into the seat. And of course, my husband's like, holy God, what in the hell is going on? And I started hyperventilating, and he's like, what? And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, there was a snake. He goes, on your phone, retard, on your phone. And I was like, hey, you don't understand. Because my amygdala sent off signals that I was 6 years old and it was happening all over again, right? So my body doesn't decipher that I am 45 years old and I'm sitting in a car and this is happening on Facebook. My body only knows what it knows. And the minute it saw the snake, it took me back to being 6 years old and my grandfather killing a snake and blah, 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 right? And seeing my mom scream and run around like a chicken with her head cut off. Now, I've never been bit by a snake. However, I can tell you the minute I see one, I've almost wrecked my car from them being on the road. And I'm in a car.
No.
It's just that my body immediately goes back to that time frame. Like I said, it doesn't decipher that, you know, it's been 35, 40 years since that happened. It only thinks it's happening right now in the present moment. So if I ever, which I don't think I ever want to do this, would want to heal that, you know, we'd have to go back, we'd have to process that and heal that. So that's what I do with the trauma. Now, obviously, this is a snake situation that I'm talking about to dumb down for purposes. Typically, I'm using or somebody's there as a result of, you know, divorce or drug addiction or parents were drug addicted or there was cheating. Something caused them to have a moment that has forever changed them. And so we want to heal that so that it doesn't preclude them from having the things that they want now in their life. And it doesn't necessarily always have to deal with trauma. You know, the article or the story that I wrote in the Touched by a Horse Equine Coaching Stories that was just released this year, I talk about my journey with fertility and surrendering to the dream of one day becoming a mother and letting that go. Because I wanted to be in control and I felt like I needed to make it happen. And, you know, if it wasn't going to happen in the time frame that I wanted it to happen, I was going to do it my own way. And when it didn't happen, then I was mad. And, you know, how did I release that? And could I hold the faith that I was maybe someday going to be a mother and it might not look the way I wanted it to look? And, you know, it was a huge healing piece for me. And it's the first time in, you know, 45 years of my life that I've not been surrounded and killing myself to have a baby. And, you know, is it going to happen? And is this the month? And what if it doesn't happen? And all that craziness, you know? So they are healing just in of themselves, just being in their presence. And they are magical creatures. And I am so glad that I'm able to partner with them on a regular basis.
You and I have so much in common. It's crazy. I can totally relate. And I will tell you that my flu, after severe, like tons of surgery, tons of fertility things, you know, even going to Boston Clinic to, you know, do the sperm donator. I had 6920, I think it was it was going to be the donor. I honestly, genuinely, and I lost two children through miscarriage. So you and I could talk for days. I will tell you that you are amazing, and I just absolutely enjoy this conversation. But we need to know where to find you.
Well, you can go to my website, to www.withers, and that's W-I-T-H-E-R-S, whisper.com. And you can schedule a free consultation with me. I do 30-minute consultations for free. There's a place where you can sign up for the Daily Whispers. I send out free inspirational quotes every single day. There's lots of free goodies on the blog sites with all the articles and things of that nature. So check all that out.
Okay, so you've got 4.5 minutes. No pressure, but you're used to this kind of pressure because you were a kick-ass lawyer. Now, talk to me. 4.5 minutes. Watch your clock. Sex and justice. Okay. It's kind of like, you know, I want to have you on the show again to talk about what it's like to represent a perp, as they call it in the streets. But talk to us specifically in the next 4 minutes about sex and justice. What was that about?
So Sex and Justice is a book I wrote earlier in my career because I had so many people come into my office after another lawyer represented them who wasn't knowledgeable enough in the area, because they're not inexpensive cases. I mean, you're typically looking at $50,000 to $100,000 for somebody to get you from the beginning all the way to the end through trial. And so I really wrote the book so that people could get the nuts and bolts of what was going on before they actually hired a lawyer, because unfortunately you get what you pay for. And if you have a lawyer that you only paid $10,000 that doesn't know their head from the hole in the ground, and they signed you up for a plea because you didn't want to go to prison and you took a plea and now your life is forever changed and you're wondering why you're not able to go to the grocery store and you're not able to go to church or you're not able to go fish or you're not able to go watch your son or daughter at a T-ball game, even though your son or daughter had nothing to do with the crime. And, you know, you had sex with somebody when you were 18 and they were 15 unbeknownst to you, or whatever the case might be, right? Or prior to Colorado changing the law, you were urinating out in public and you were behind the bar, behind a dumpster, but you were still out in public. So the list goes on and on. And the people assume that when somebody is convicted of a sex offense, that they're the old dirty guy that's been perpetrating on a little kid, you know, and they vaginally penetrated them or something worse than that. You know, I have a client right now who I just said, you know, is going to trial, who some little girl said that he was scratching her and literally brushed over supposedly her vagina with her fully clothed. He's looking at life in prison because this little girl told her mom, even though she was doing something inappropriate to herself, that when her mom questioned her, and she's been previously sexually touched, not by my client, by somebody else, but she told her mom that my client was scratching her mosquito bite and then, you know, touched her in her vagina. And he's looking at life in prison for this. The system is terrible, and it's so easy.
What intrigues me about you, and we are going to definitely have another radio show.
Yes.
Hold on 1 second. Somebody's trying to call me. Is the fact that as a sexually abused person, how are you defending the deviant? Even though we don't know the truth, we weren't actually there, but you were sexually abused, I was sexually abused, I could not imagine in any way, shape, or form trying to defend somebody who's being accused of sexual abuse. I'd be like, hello, You did the Jell-O pop. We're out. How do you have the strength to see past that?
So how I do it is my job is not to decide guilt or innocence. That's a jury's job. My job is to make sure that the Constitution is upheld and that the police and the prosecution did their job and did their job fairly.
High five.
That's right.
You are amazing. Amy, we have to have her back on, I'm telling you, because she's got balls. She's got balls, honey. Balls.
She does.
Oh, thank you.
She's got some balls. All right.
And
so we have
too.
Oh yeah, there's like we could talk for days. So Andrea, can you do me one more favor because I've gotta cut the line on you. And I don't want to, but time is ticking. Where do we find you? How do we get a hold of you? How do we do the 30-minute horse thing? Let's do it.
You can call me at 970-682-4405, or you can go to my website at witherswhisper.com. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all that fun media stuff, so check me out there as well.
All right.
Groovy. And you have a personal invite from myself, the host of the show. I would love to have you back on next year because I really want to dig into your balls. I mean, you've got balls, girl. Like, who actually would sit there and say, hey, I would like to defend you, even though somebody is saying you did something that I personally experienced. And I'd like to dig into that story. If that's okay, you have a personal invite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I
All
would
right,
love
Andrea.
To be on. Just have your secretary call my secretary.
That's it. We will send smoke signals, girl, because by then, I don't know what's going on with the whole technology thing. But, Andrea, you are a pip. You are fabulous. And you know what? High five to you because, damn, girl, you got it. You got it going on.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And you guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I look forward to talking to you in the new year.
Happy holidays.
You as
I'll
well.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, love bug. Cheers. Amy, isn't this why we do what we do? Oh, my gosh. What an amazing woman. And, you know, to be able to walk that line. That is a fine line to walk. Athena would be so happy as a goddess, you know? She truly would be. She'd be sitting back
I think she's definitely in our bloodline.
You're right. She is definitely a woman of our cloth. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting that she I love the whole faceted story that she can go from, you know, still respecting that profession from afar. And doing it in a and you know supporting those that do stay in the game. I guess I was more intrigued with that part of it for myself anyway. That was very intriguing.
Well, you know, and the amazing part, and I still get goosebumps because I'm so excited about having her on. I'm totally stalking her right now, and I know that she's hearing this. is the fact that. She's gone from one position, one very scary stance. And as a woman, you know, we don't have many resources. And you watched my trial. You watched my tribulations. Mm-hmm. You know firsthandedly what it's like to go against the courts. And, boy, they are brutal and nasty and vindictive. But
and did you hear the prices? Like how much it costs for you to... For instance, if somebody that she's representing really is innocent, that person's going to spend $100,000 to prove that they're innocent. That was just a lot of people don't have that kind of money.
Most people don't, you know, and I'm just sitting back going, wow, I'm glad that I'm not the only one who's having this conversation.
Note to self.
Because you know how much I spent.
Oh yes, and the thing is too is there's so much more to this subject. For instance, my experience with a different legal issue,
mm-hmm.
In finding out at the end that I didn't have any lawyers that would even stand up for me, even though proven that I, you know, that my consumer rights were violated in so many ways, I had to give in so I didn't lose everything. And,
yep.
You know, it's just intriguing that there's, you know, herself as a lawyer can see that this is all happening. But yet we still need lawyers to stay in the system. We just need them to be more empathic and rediscover that part of themselves that they're losing through this work.
I don't know. I honestly, and you know my experience, I honestly think the whole system needs to be shut down and reinvented. Because, Lord,
if they were thinking more in terms of helping this person and real justice being served, and opposed to how many people we can prosecute this month, I think she was clearly stating that not every lawyer feels that way, even though you and I, that's all we've experienced.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So, Amy, I love you. I adore you. I'm sorry I'm going to miss the holidays with you, but I need you to look out for me because I'm coming up for the summer again. And I need a place. Yeah. My boss up there was very cute. He's like, hey, are you actually going to be up this winter? I'm like, the ramen soup, hell no. That's going to be a forever mantra for us. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. So we had Andrea Hall, who's a lawyer, well, almost past lawyer, and an advocate who does equine therapy. And next week, I hope you get to make this. I know you're crazy busy with shows and things with the girls. But Soya Vernikoff, try to say that one out loud. She actually is an author and speaker, but she deals with weight. And I thought she was perfect right before the holidays to talk about weight issues and self-esteem and that kind of thing, because we have so much drama about, oh my God, 10 pounds with turkey, 40 pounds with Santa. And Soya Vernikoff actually talks a lot about eating healthy, which you and I love, and foregoing the whole nonsense and negative aspirations of the holidays and that nonsense. So today was Andrea, who is a fabulous criminal defense attorney, past tense, soon. And I can't even tell you, wow, what a freaking amazing woman. She is in my clutches of high fives. We have 2 minutes left, and I want to say, Amy, I love you. I miss you.
I love you, too. And you never know, we're gonna have to take this this show on the road. I think, been feeling that a lot.
Girl, shoot.
Be interested.
I'm. You know what's funny is, and when we talked about it this summer, I've actually been looking out for like a little mobile device that you and I can live in, because after my surgery, I shouldn't snore so much because I have a surgery coming up to clean out my sinuses, re-break my broken nose, so that I can breathe again. So we can actually live together for a couple of months, travel. We have about 90 seconds left. Old Amy, I love you. Andrea Hall, author, lawyer, advocate. Check her out. She's the author of Sex and Justice, and she's a contributing author of Living Your Joy. Check her out. She's got 30 minutes of free time on her dime. Amy, I love you. I will see you next week. I hope your week warms up, you poor little thing. I'm freezing
well,
in the morning,
not
but
warm
not like
up
you.
Until April, honey.
You know what? I can hope for you.
Okay.
So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and that's Amy.
Amy.
She is fabulous, and I miss her. She is one of my besties. We will talk soon next week, Thursday, 3 p.m. We have Soya Vernikoff, I might have said this wrong, talking about weight. Talk to you soon. I love you. Do kindness for people. Smile even if you don't want to. It's all good. It's always good.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.